Okay, so I wanted to pause here because that there were a couple of scenes, but this last scene, let me go to that. It's very sweet because there's a moment where you see the mother and the daughter, like the mother is looking at the daughter, look at herself, and you can feel there's a tenderness, you know, because she's seeing, oh, this, what must my daughter be thinking? What must my daughter thinking? And it's like there's a moment where there can be a connection, but then she goes to the defenses, right? She goes to the defense of denial, or like, you know, using these like fancy language, like it's like a bypass. It's like a, you know, metaphysical ghosting. It's not really there. That's not really who you are. That's the grandfather. You're not that. And the daughter repeats it because that's what she's heard growing up, right? So she repeats it. And the mother is like, and don't you forget it. But you can tell the moment was lost where they could have just joined in that. You know, there was just this opportunity because the daughter is so much looking for, how can I accept this? How can I be okay with this? Like, you know, if I cover, if I do this, she's trying the things that her mom has taught her, but you can see there's like a desire, like, help me with this. Let's join on it. And the mom misses it. You know, she just misses that boat. So I thought that was like a very, you know, poignant moment where there was this opportunity for connection. And they say that, right? Like when we're raising kids, there are these teachable moments. You know, I remember one of my physicians used to say there's teachable moments and you kind of like just need to be open to them. And that's a space where something can be inserted. But if you kind of aren't present to it and if you're really not in a space of open curiosity, you're going to say something that's like this rehearsed thing, you know, very, it sounds good, but it really isn't meeting what the need is, which is really a call for love, a call for self-acceptance. And then finally, the young man, Edward, you can see like he runs, right? He runs, he flees, and he says he's seen fangs. And we know that that's not even what she looks like, right? Like he's seeing there's a part of his own self-doubt, self-hatred that's being projected onto her. And again, he's not able to face it. And we're kind of getting clues that he's inheriting something. He's to be second in line to be, you know, taking over his dad's empire. And now he's had a nervous breakdown. Supposedly the newspapers are saying it and he's like, he's losing it, right? He's like, you know, he's like, losing his sanity, his peace, his well-being. So it's interesting. Again, like I said before, with Penelope, it's obvious, right? No one, she can't hide it. But here, like he's trying to keep a front that doesn't exist. And it seems to be all because of her. So again, that projection and what's going on and him not being able to come into his own yet. And the way he sees her isn't even what she is. So his own demons being projected on her. And in the next scene, we're gonna see that a little bit more clearly. And again, the mother, you know, we saw like, you know, first she was like trying to cut it out, then she faked the death, her death. Like we wanna cut the ego out. We want to kill the ego. We want to kill those thoughts, kill that aspect of ourselves. Like if I could just cut it off, if I, we can't, none of that is going to work. And it doesn't, you know, and it's really the idea of accepting being where we are, being with. And so far, everyone is like recoiling, running away, cut it out. The only one who's trying to break free of it as she is, as I told you, is Penelope. And we see that when she's a little child, you can feel how she just wants to connect. She just wants to join as she is, right? So it's just really beautiful. So let's continue. Okay, so let's just stop here. So again, you know, in a screenplay, the whole thing about how will the two characters meet, right? That's a huge thing of how they're going to meet. And so here they are, they've met. And we're going to learn this later. The guy hires him, I don't want to talk about the detective too, because the detective and Edward now seemingly are this team, and they seem to be joined by this common desire to expose Penelope. And they want to do it for different reasons. For Edward, it's about, you know, proving to others that he's not crazy. And we see he has that picture where he sees like there's a flash of seeing this very grotesque features and the fangs and everything. So there's something is happening for him. You know, Penelope is like inciting something in him. It's worse than what it really is. And again, that's, it's his own darkness, right? That's coming up. And for the detective, it's this thing about where we don't really know his motives, just like he's actually, he's a reporter. He's not a detective. He's a reporter. I think he might be both a reporter and detective, but in any case, his motives are like, again, about clearing his name, that he's been on this story and he's been wanting to expose it. And so they seem to be these unlikely partners, but they've been brought together. And then they find this guy, who's not even this royal blood, but he's got a gambling stuff and he's in it for the money, right? He has a love for money. So unlikely people being brought together seemingly for this purpose that's, again, an egoic purpose, but we're going to see underneath it, it's, there's a healing. All of them are asking for a healing, although they don't know. And there's a thing about screenplays where the characters think they need something. And so the whole idea is them trying to fulfill the need, what they want something. Like, I want to have this. Penelope wants to find the suitor that will break the curse. The mom wants to find the suitor. They've hired Wanda. The father is, you know, kind of just going along with it. So that's their want. And here we are, you know, the Edward wants to have his name clear to establish himself. He's not the crazy one. It's Penelope, and she's a beast and she's ferocious and their family is crazy. The reporter wants his, you know, he wants a photograph to show, to clear his name, to show this actually exists. And also, Max, he is here, actually money, right? He's got a gambling thing. So he's here for the money. So those are what their wants are. But usually what we want isn't what we need. And that's kind of also like the curriculum for healing, how we think it should play out and how we think our spiritual healing should look like. And then what our need is. And we're going to see that the needs of each of them are going to be met, but it's not going to be what they wanted. It's what they need for healing. So this is going to really play out in a really, really beautiful way. And I wanted to kind of just reflect on that, how that whatever we need for our healing, the characters are drawn to us, again, not out of our choosing, but just somehow they come together and we're stepping back, right? Like, and I've seen this movie. So it's like, the more you see it, you have kind of this panoramic view, but when you're in it, you don't see it. You can't see it. Everyone is just seeing their part of it. So it keeps us remembering, like, you know, joining with others, gathering with others, prayer, meditation. Those are the tools that help us. Watching a movie, those are the tools that help us to see a bigger picture. So, Don, I see your hand is raised. You have a question? Yeah, go ahead. Well, I'm going to keep the recording going if that's okay with you.
Fine. Okay. So, you kind of, in other words, were talking about what I was going to ask. I was going to say, so that's what each of us, my fellow attendees to this movie workshop, and I guess everybody is on earth, is we're looking to fulfill a lack that we perceive, but we can only look with our ego mind. And so what we get to our, I'll just talk about myself. So what I get is what I need, but not what I think I need. Okay. And so the question is, and this was, I was going to ask this earlier. So you talk about spiritual bypass, and of course I've heard of that, but I don't think I really get it. You know, because like the mom says, but you aren't your nose. It seems like Penelope, in a way, she doesn't seem to think she's her nose. I mean, she seems to have a sense of groundedness or solidity or contentment, other than that she'd like to join with other playmates. So, but the point, I guess the question is then for the mother, because I want to see myself as the mother here. If I'm faced with a child with a pig nose, or myself more likely with an insane mind, what's not spiritual bypass? I mean, I can tell myself I'm not my thoughts. Actually, they're not my thoughts at all. You know, they're not my, these perceptions I have or this attack thoughts I have. They're not really reflective of the truth of me. But the understanding of that doesn't change them.
Yeah.
And so my question is, if you don't spiritual bypass, what does it look like to do what you really need to do?
Yeah. And actually, we're going to see that play out in the movie.
Okay.
And so it's going to, I could answer it, but I think I'd like to answer it once we see Penelope go further into it. Like right now, she tries to go to the gates and she tries to get out as a young girl and she's brought back. Right. And then meanwhile, in her home, you see all those plants and all the beautiful things. Like it's her home is where she, her room is very creative. Like even the shutters, when she draws them down, right, they're dark paintings and then they're light of the same painting. So you get a sense that this is like a really, like someone you'd want to know, like she's just very creative. And so we see those aspects of her. And so she's with her nose, she's with it, but there's so much else with her. So we have these thoughts running through us, but we are more than the thoughts.
Right? Yeah, but, well, that's what I want to tell myself. And I want to tell myself my perceptions of my wife, my perceptions of my son and other people as well, but most regularly them, they aren't what's true, my perceptions. But they don't, that doesn't.
Well, see, her nose is still her nose. Her nose isn't different. So we can't say that her nose is perfect or her nose is healed, but we just, there's like it's how I, what are the eyes that I see her through? So the mom says,
yeah, I know. So,
right.
So if I'm judging her nose or I'm judging myself and my mind and my son and my wife, then I'm stuck with my perceptions and I'm not able to appreciate in experience. I'm not able to experience the truth, though I might think I understand what the truth might be.
Right, right, okay. Exactly.
I'm willing to just let the movie tell
you. Yeah. And so we're going to get into an experience. Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, great. Good question. All right. Okay. So sorry about that. A lot has happened. So let me just kind of just give a little bit of some comments. So there was a scene where when they first meet, Max and Penelope, and so Penelope can see all the suitors, right? Because she's in this screen. She can see them, but they can't see her. And there are moments where the two have a connection that's like they can't see each other. So it's beyond the physical. There's some connection. There's a way they're connecting. And we're starting to understand Max a little bit more. There's a little bit deeper story to him. There's some musical talent. Penelope guesses that he plays something, and you know, they have this whole scene trying to figure out what his instrument is, and it turns out it is the piano. And then there's a connection, and we can tell that there's something he's fighting. You know, he tries to play and then he can't. He's going to go back to gambling, but something has shifted. Something is starting. And so that's where, again, Penelope's, you know, obstacle is so obvious, where Max, it's hidden, right? The others, everything is hidden. So with Max, it's starting to be interesting now, because we're wondering, like, what is it that he's trying to face? And he says how he used to write songs and now he doesn't do it anymore. And Penelope is so open and so curious, very transparent. You know, she's asking and she's trying to understand him. And what's interesting is that you can feel something is growing, right? And with Penelope, we see, like, we've seen all these other suitors flee. Like, she's been, you know, 18 to 25 for 7 years, this has been happening. And this is the first time where we see her really, like, put herself out there and say, you know, please marry me, Max, marry me, marry me. So there's something beyond it. She's feeling something, but she's still not coming from her power yet. It's more like, you know, and he's like, well, what if the curse doesn't break? And he has his own reasons about why that's happening. I'm not going to give that away, but he's asking, and she's like, well, I'll just kill myself, right? She's kind of doing what her mom said, you know, marry me, the curse will break. This is what we need to do. We need to go outside. And even the song, you are my sunshine, you are my sunshine, like something outside of us has the light, right? Without you, I'll be broken. Without you, I can't live. So again, that same thing, something is outside me. And so she's saying, yeah, if it doesn't, I could never ask you to accept this. I'm a monster. So that's not the self-acceptance that we're going to see for her later, but it's the best she can do. And it is on the path of healing because she's never even come out and stayed with anyone. Usually she comes out, they run, and she's like, okay, great. Look, they're going to run. I told you, mom. See, I told you, mom, you know, but this time they see each other and she has to face what this does to others without them running away, you know? So it's like, she's going towards the darkness. Max is there, he's staying. And so you can start to feel there's healing happening. And for Max, we see that when he's on his own, you know, he tries to go play the piano. And we're wondering, like, if he's this rich person, he seems to be, you know, in very humble surroundings. So we don't know his whole story, but we're starting to get a window into where his call for love is, where his healing was. And the same thing for even the detective reporter. We're going to see him, you know, he's a dwarf, right? So he has his own, whatever he's dealing with, which we're not going to see much of, but we'll start to see that as well later. So, this is like a real turning point now for Penelope. And the story is like, I feel like this is where, like, you're going to go through the eye of the needle and you've kind of made it to this point. And now she's going to open, you know, she's going to really open up much more, but she couldn't have done it if she didn't go through the phases where she did, where she even, you know, is kind of begging, you know. So everything that's happening is helpful. Everything, everyone coming towards her, the ones who ran away, Max staying, his motivation seems to be money, whatever it is, the spirit is using everything. And Penelope is really like meeting everything head on. You know, she's the one that seems to be at this point most open, but she is having reverberations in the others, especially in Max. We can see that, you know, she's starting to shift things, but just by her presence, he's starting to open and reach for healing himself. Okay, so this is a really cool scene, right? The father, right? Finally, the father goes towards that hatred. You know, it's me, 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 me. I'm the curse. I'm the curse. And so that self-hatred is the hatred that everyone else is running away from. The suitors recoil, right? And the mother is trying to do everything possible except go into it, except go towards it. You know, she's trying to do all the bypasses, cut it away, burn it away, kill it away, marry it away, you know, anything she can, right? She's doing her thing of that self-hatred, which she doesn't want to go to. And so we're starting to see that you can't. And the mom and the dad has a part of it, right? He's saying we kept trying to change it. We never prepared her for what if it couldn't change. And then he says, oh, we should buy her a puppy, right? Okay, well, that's not a solution either. But you see how he has part of the answer, like he's going there. But the wife, again, can't join with him because she's still on her MO, is her modus operandi is like, just get rid of it. Like, I just want to get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. You know, I just can't go there. So sometimes that happens where parents, you know, they both might have a part of it, but they can't hear each other. They can't hear each other because each in their own way is still running away from it. So the mom might be like running in one direction and the dad is in the space of self-blame, right? So again, he has to go through that also. But in their own way, they're doing the best they can, right? In their own way. So I just wanted to stop and pause because I thought that scene was pretty cool. So I just wanted to stop here. I think Don was asking that question. And so that scene where she breaks free, she opens the gates, like she knows her mother's response is, we're just going to keep trying. You can't stop. You can't stop. And again, it seems so well-intentioned, right? Her mom is like so, she's persevering. She's determined. She doesn't give up. But as Einstein said, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the thing again and again, the same way, expecting different results. And so the mother is that, right? Just going to do it again. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. And the ego, that's what it says. We'll just do it again. We'll work harder. We'll do this. We'll do this. Keeping you at that same space, right? At the same space. And we see Penelope kind of, she's feeling so much pain. She says it's like 1,000 heartbreaks. And so in Max, there was something she was feeling, you know, she finally felt safe enough to sort of come out of the closet. And then it's not met yet with the way she would like it for Matt, but she's opened up and she's open to the pain. She's open to it. And something happens to her where she realizes that I can't wait anymore. I can't do it. And she realizes that her mother is going to do it. And she's kind of taking back her power now and saying, well, I can't stay here and let myself, you know, she's in this kind of this relationship with the mother, right? Where she just kind of, you know, gets sucked up into it and sort of gets drawn into it and wants to believe it and wants to believe it. And she breaks free and she steps out, you know, she's covered in everything, but the gates are open. And then she's walking in that space. She sees the dog and things that are so common, but she's just never had that freedom. And then she's in like the carousel and the kids and the cotton candy. And it's so magical, the lights and everything. And what I was feeling is like, it's like saying, like, nothing is different, right? In that scene, nothing is different. Her nose is still what it is. It's actually hidden. Her parents are where they are. Her mother is where they are. No suitor is ready to marry her. You know, Max is not there. But something has shifted where it's like the miracle, like it says, it doesn't change anything, but it reminds us of the beauty that we already are. Like right now, right here, nothing has to be different. Even my mind doesn't, like, nothing has to change. Nothing has to change. And I can open up to it. And so I feel her is like, she is leading us to that, you know, in such a simple way, but it took all those steps, right? All those steps for her to get there and for her to reclaim that power. When she's like swinging, she's realizing that I can't let my mom be in charge. I can't blame it on Wanda. I can't do this anymore. I need something radically different. And the way radically different is to step out of it. Like, I'm going to step out of it. So how do we do that in the mind? How can I pray that I'm in this situation that seems so intense? Nothing is going my way. You know, it's like sometimes it says, like, it brings you to your knees, right? And you're just in prayer. You're just in prayer. Okay, help me. Help me. And I feel like if we could remember this scene with Penelope, where she is, you know, transported, or she opens to that, and really nothing is different in her life, right? Nothing is different. And yet everything seems different. We can sense it. We can sense that something has opened up for her. So I wanted to pause. And it's amazing, like, the father is trying to, you know, report her missing, and the mom doesn't want to do that, right? So the mom is still doing her hide it, suppress it. You know, the mom just is still doing her, you know, which the ego does. So it's, she beautifully shows us what the ego mind does. Okay. Sorry, so I just wanted to pause this again because I was just struck by it. Like, there's a, you know, we see Penelope literally, like, sometimes we heard this expression, you have to kind of walk out of your life, you know, and she literally walks out of her life, right? She doors open, and then very beautifully, she calls her mom and says, Mom, I love you. I'm good, but goodbye. And we know she's not going to go back to that old life. Like, she's made a break from it, you know, and she's got to be on her own. And her mom is trying, but she can feel like Penelope knows, no, I got to do it something different. Something has got to do it, but I love you. I love you. She assures them, I'm fine. I'm okay. But, you know, goodbye. And it's not saying goodbye to them, but goodbye to this way of living. And so there's like a door opening, a door closing. And then we see that for Max, right? So it's like, he's in this gambling. There's been some hurt. He's had some hurt, whether he's lost a love or, whatever, something has happened. We know that, right? But he kind of is gambling. He's doing his own defenses, right? His own defenses. And so the guy comes, and then the other guy comes who's running the table. And basically they're like, are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? And he just steps back. And again, he goes through a door and he's like in this open area, the same way Penelope did. So it's like he too is kind of like walking out of that life. And it's almost like, you know, literally walking out. We see it with these characters, but it's like we're under this mesmerism, right? We're under this mesmerism. And for Penelope, the mesmerism has been around this curse. Got to break through this curse. You got to break through this. This is how you got to do it. And she's kind of inhabited her world. You know, she has a very rich life. She, you know, is so knowledgeable about plants. She wants to be this horticulturist. You can feel the creativity, but still there's this overall mesmerism and she has to break it. And with our friend Max, it's like this whole world of gambling. Right. It's just like a way to numb yourself, just a way to numb yourself. So sometimes it's like the prayer is like, how can I wake up to what I am right now, right here? Like the Buddha, you know, the story of the Buddha and, you know, he walks out of his life. Right. And sometimes we're asked to do that physically. Maybe we need to walk out of something to reconnect to it in a different way. Or sometimes it's more like entering into a space of a void where we don't know anything. We're in not knowing so that we can enter into the miracle. And even for Edward, he's the character I talked about him a little bit before. There's this father-son dynamic and we get a little window into it where he's trying to please his father. He's trying to be worthy of this, you know, inheritance he's going to have. And his father is like, just not really helping him. And he even says, you know, try to remember I'm your son. And he's like, that's the very thing I'm trying to forget. So you can see, you know, what he's facing up in his life, you know, and again, for him, he's sort of not able to break through with it. He's still sort of in the sense of like, it's Penelope. How can I, you know, blame her? What can I do? So he's also struggling, but everyone is struggling to try to break through of the beliefs that are keeping them where they are. And as Einstein would say, you know, you got to go above it or below it. You can't stay at that level to resolve the problem. So we've sort of seen the shift and movement with Penelope and we've seen it with Max. Maybe not so much for Edward yet or the detective yet. So we'll continue.